It's Illume Group's Andrea Lay, Packed View's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Wooden Hill Shri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 22nd, and of course it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We found them boundlessly intriguing. We hope you do too. Brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Leading off, Shri.
Thank you, Peter. And Amazon Live introduces a new shoppable ad-supported channel to Prime Video called Freevee, featuring 24/7 interactive content from celebrities and brands, leveraging its Shop the Show technology to enhance viewer engagement and boost its advertising revenue. At least that's the plan. The channel leverages Amazon's Shop the Show technology to enable viewers to easily purchase content seen on the TV screen via a mobile device. The CPG guys and I are excited to try this out, and we will report back how it performs back here in one of our blogs on the CPG guys. So I look forward to that. Over to you, Peter, for what's going on with Walmart Marketplace.
Thanks, Shri. Walmart Marketplace opens Omni service to auto sellers. Walmart is enabling customers to order eligible tires from Walmart sellers and have them shipped to a local Walmart store for easy installation at their auto care centers. Walmart sellers have added 12,000 unique items, including specialty tires, to provide nearly 40,000 marketplace offers that are installation eligible at 2,300 auto care centers around the country. The expanded tire selection complements Walmart's existing auto services that include accessories and battery services, while giving sellers more access to Walmart's omnichannel customer base. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Amazon begins offering Dash Carts to other grocers. Amazon has begun offering its Dash Carts to third-party grocers, expanding the checkout technology beyond Amazon grocery banners and Whole Foods market stores, according to a blog post from the company. Amazon introduces Dash Carts to non-Amazon grocery stores, starting with select locations in the Kansas City area. This rollout comes shortly after Amazon ceased its Just Walk Out technology in Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods. Customers using Dash Carts tend to spend 10% more, with over 80% of the transactions from repeat users, highlighting the cart's convenience and efficiency. Over to you, Melissa.
So Heinz has launched a new limited edition barbecue sauce. Heinz and Barbie lovers in Europe are in luck. A limited edition pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce was launched to celebrate Barbie's 65th anniversary. Mattel and Heinz have unveiled the new Heinz Classic barbecue sauce. It will be available in the UK and Spain initially, and may be available elsewhere in the future. Additionally, there's 5,000 bottles of the new sauce available to purchase online, but they can only be shipped to the UK and Ireland. So for those of you in the US who are curious, you can do what I do and go to TikTok and search pink barbecue sauce, and you will find it.
Thank you, Melissa. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Shri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Shri and Peter. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, one of the aforementioned CPG Guys, and when I'm not podcasting, I'm the VP of Partner Strategy and Development at Fetch Rewards Mobile Loyalty Platform. This is episode 199 in our ongoing effort to explore how brands and retailers are engaging consumers in a digitally driven world. Joining me is my constant co-host. He's my companion on this journey, known as the Lord of Los Angeles. Yes, other people call him Shri. Shri, how you doing? What's going on, brother? 199.
I would have loved to be the Lord of the Rings, but instead I had to settle for Los Angeles. Doing awesome, man, with our teams tearing it, like literally tearing it. The Dodgers, Yankees, 1-2, respectively, Yankees and Dodgers in Major League Baseball. This has been, I think, the Yankee pitching arms ERA of less than 2. I'm shocked. I just hope it sustains.
Yeah, it's a great time, Shri. We're both loving that. And yet we're already planning for football. We've already got some football tickets for October. So we'll go see the Giants together.
I know we haven't introduced our guest yet, But I know there's going to be two handsome gentlemen going to the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby this year. I wonder who they are.
Who could they be? Oh, that's right. We're going to do a little La La Land Midsummer Classic. It'll be very exciting, Sri. Hey, Ron, remind our audience that all of our content now, nearly 200 episodes, you can find it by simply visiting CPG Guys, and you'll see that we're on 40-plus platforms. And, of course, if you're not already following us on LinkedIn, it is our community's platform of choice. Just open up your LinkedIn app on your smartphone, or if you're still using a desktop, just go to LinkedIn.com, and in the query box, enter in CPG Guys. When you get to our page, click the blue follow button. That way you'll be privy to all of the content we create. It's so much. It's not just podcast episodes. It's LinkedIn Live videos, articles, other things like that. And we know you can afford it because it's free. Ain't no cost associated with it. So please do check us out. Follow us on LinkedIn. Did you know, Sri? And I think you know, Sri, we're in a partnership with Next Up, formerly known as Network of Executive Women, whose mission it is to advance all women in the workplace. And in the middle of every Wednesday podcast episode, we hide a little Easter egg talking about what's new at Next Up, what's going on, and events that you can register for. Best way to participate is go to nextupisnow.org/CPGguys, and you can do that very easily. And Sri, you also know we launched the best part of this podcast is listening to Sri say the word European. He says it so much better than I do. European. I love how he says that. But our friends, the FMCG guys, Efrain and Daniel, well, they take the CPG guys format across the pond and speak with industry luminaries in fast-moving consumer goods and retail from a European experience and perspective. So please do check them out. Go to fmcgguys.com and you can subscribe to their podcast. It is definitely worth listening to. Now onto the main event of Big Episode 199. The CPG guys are partnering this episode with Sky, formerly known as Kenshu. Sky is an intelligent marketing platform that powers commerce insights, marketing decisions, and media execution for faster, more predictable go-to-market outcomes. Their platform includes a suite of data-driven products for market intelligence, omni-channel media activation, testing, and measurement, enabling brands and agencies to make predictions, improve strategic planning, and drive growth on this most important customer channels. Rejoining the CPG guys for the second episode brought to you by Sky is our good friend, Nick Weinheimer, a 15-year veteran of e-commerce and ad tech industries, helping build venture-backed software as a service companies in Amazon's backyard there in Seattle. We were just talking this morning about how I've got a pound of morel mushrooms from Pike's Place Market waiting for me at home tonight to cook them up for dinner. Yum, yum. Nick developed a consulting agency in the early days of Amazon FBA, supporting sellers as they shifted into this new outsourced fulfillment model, and later developed and owned and operated brand for the Amazon marketplace. After building experience, integrating feats with Amazon and other retailers, his Amazon agency experience from his earliest work with display ad tech, Nick joined Kenshu, now known as Sky, in 2018 to bring their leading enterprise search advertising technology to the Amazon advertising opportunity. Nick now leads strategy for Sky as the company doubles down on connected commerce across its platform suite of retail intelligent data and advertising solutions. Please join Sri and me in welcoming to the podcast our friend Nick. Nick, how you doing today?
Doing well, thank you. I was planning on going mushroom hunting for morels, but it sounds like they've all been snapped up in the Seattle area, so.
Oh yeah, I grabbed them all. I said, go get them all. Whatever you got, put them in a box, pack it with some refrigerated insulation, and get it on a plane out to Connecticut as quickly as possible. Sorry, you're not getting any of that tonight. I suggest go get some chanterelles. I think they may still have some.
I guess Mark Twain might say that's the other way to ruin a perfectly good walk. But thank you guys both for having me here for a second time. I almost got episode 200, but 199 has its own poetry. So thanks for having me.
Very, very close. Hey Nick, I know I gave a little preview of your background, but why don't you, before we get into the episode,
Share with us a little more about what Sky does and specifically why there's a tremendous value proposition for brands, retailers, and ultimately the consumers that are consuming the advertising.
Yeah, absolutely. So you did mention sort of our core technology stack, enterprise advertising marketing technology with a suite of data intelligence and measurement solutions to pair with it. That is the core of what we do and have been doing since 2006. The origins of the business was building a search platform on top of Google, really one of the first. We followed on with a social platform as Facebook was building their ads business, and have always had a partner first mentality as these ad ecosystems in sort of native walled gardens have matured. And we did the same with Amazon in 2016, 2017, launching generally available in the beginning of 2018. And since then, we've built partnerships with Walmart, Instacart, Target, and, really the rest of retail through partners like Criteo and CitrusAd, PromoteIQ, really providing the history and breadth of our core ad tech suite and measurement technologies in this sort of fast moving, exciting space of retail media. So we've had this amazing opportunity to be kind of the, first to market players, helping brands who are in a huge way kind of becoming some of the most relevant digital marketers through these retail media channels across the entire funnel that's available. And it's evolving fast, right? And so is our business. And so is a way that we've looked to invest in ourselves. You mentioned, we were originally Kenshu and now Sky on the heels of an acquisition of Signals Analytics, our data intelligence platform. So we're very excited about the future of Sky and our central focus on commerce across the entire, what I call the commerce continuum for retailers, like many of our earliest design partners on the search platform, like Zappos and Home Depot and Best Buy, all the way over to the other end of the spectrum to brands that are investing through the retail media channels we support. So we play a really interesting independent role in this ecosystem, really able to provide technology and strategic services for this entire spectrum of the commerce continuum. So really excited to talk with you guys today a little bit about how we're evolving that thinking.
Thanks, Nick. And to our audience, don't worry about spelling Nick's name or his company's name. Just go to the digital liner notes of this podcast episode. They're hyperlinks to Nick's LinkedIn profile and to Sky's website. Easiest way to get there. Just use the hyperlinks and you can actually follow along and do it right now, because we know 95%+ of you are listening on your mobile phone. As you're walking along on your Saturday morning walk, hey, just open it up, click, and you can start checking out Nick's background and learn more about what Sky is doing from their corporate website. Okay, Nick. Let's get right down to the questions. We've got some good ones set up for you. I'll kick us off. I wanted to start by asking you more about this phrase and this terminology in the industry called connected commerce. It's got a bit of industry buzz going on right now, and I know you've mentioned it a couple of times when we've spoken. I also saw that you recently wrote an article on the topic for Path to Purchase IQ, and we'll be on stage there talking about it next week with, I think it's with Sarah Weitzel from Kimberly-Clark. For our listeners, can you explain connected commerce, what it is and why it's important?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think there are lots of definitions out there for connected commerce, whether that's connected devices or connecting retail and CPG strategies, wearables. But really from our perspective, marketing technology and measurement and data intelligence purveyors, we think about it more from an e-commerce, connected commerce perspective, and really beyond e-commerce, sort of purely commerce, omni, anywhere where there are products being served up to customers, that can be in a physical store, that can be on a website, that can be in your social feed. It is connecting all of these disparate endpoints within the programs that these brands and retailers are driving to drive a smarter, more consumer-centric approach to bringing products to market. I mean, e-commerce penetration is still, really 35% above sort of the pre-pandemic baseline that we were tracking. And, the spend in the space that brands are investing with some of the most enormous, coffers out there is, it's expected to grow really to about $100 billion over the next 2 years as an addressable market. We worked with BWG Strategy to survey about 160 marketers, and 80% of them said that, you know, they're planning to increase their spending in retail media advertising across the board. We asked them which retailers were most important. Literally every single one of the top 12 we asked them about were going to increase in importance for them year over year. And, you know, ultimately they said they were going to plan on increased spending more than 26% year over year. And a lot of them too, as we were surveying them, you know, suggested that they were going to be investing a lot more in search and social shoppable ad formats. Again, up 20% year over year, just in the last, you know, 12 months. And we also see some of the big industry shifts around privacy regulations. You know, lots more brands and retailers are looking for marketing technology and solutions that really help them drive more ownership over their own customer data, or the customer data that they can access through a retail partner within retail media. So, you know, we see the future of this connected commerce, you know, commerce marketing, as really data-driven, consumer-centric, full funnel, ultimately measurable, and really, as I mentioned earlier, omni-channel. So, to be successful, we think that, you know, brands have to think about a connected commerce model that ultimately pulls together data-informed strategies across all of their most important digital advertising channels, you know, and to help connect together their strategies to drive sales. Where they used to be siloed in their organization, we're seeing, you know, a real connectivity across how marketing dollars and investments and strategies are coming together to be better connected. We always hear a lot about the democratization of data and so forth, but I think the technology and where we are today, this is becoming an actual, you know, achievable reality. So there are some pretty big challenges, you know, I think, in getting there for sure.
Nick, welcome back to the show. Episode 2 is the charm. And search, social, shoppable media, these are all words today that are real in the CPG industry. And if you think about the device we've had in our pockets, holding on our phones hours of the day, at the end of the day, it is a connected device. Hence the word connected commerce was meant to be. It's just that the industry, CPG industry, took forever to get to the word connected commerce. So everything you said makes complete sense, but it's also utopia. And my experience tells me that getting to this utopia is easier said than done. What prevents brands from actually living connected commerce, and for me to use a word like it's an utopia?
I think that's a really intelligent way to talk about it. It is a challenge. It's often we have to be aspirational in our language to even achieve incremental you know, improvement in the way we bring our products to market, right? I think there are kind of four big challenges that you know, brands are facing to really arrive at a real connected commerce paradigm. Number one is really kind of managing multiple channels, multiple retailers. This isn't your, I've got a search, you know, duopoly of Google and Bing, or, you know, Facebook and Instagram within social. The second big challenge is finding the right technology. Third is really hiring the right talent. It's difficult. You know, in a world where this isn't just digital marketing, it's retail intelligent digital marketing, which that requires a certain, you know, a certain talent to be, you know, to be successful. And then finally, it's understanding and acquiring the right data for success. I mentioned before, it has to be data-driven, consumer-centric to be successful. And look, there's a dearth of data available from some of these new digital publishers. These are retailers. These are the other side of the negotiation for brands in a lot of cases. So really looking at those in a little greater detail, you know, managing multiple retailers, we have to understand, you know, which retailers serve which functions across the buying journey. The platforms that they use are going to be different in their functionality, the measurement, and the opportunity. And ultimately, they need to kind of run a calculus on how they compare and contrast them all. And then they have to think through how much budget they should put toward each of these retailers. And of course, that comes with internal shifts of how they're structuring their organizations. Is there fluidity between these retailers in a world where these used to be siloed sales teams with just, you know, kind of shopper dollars flowing through a shopper org and trade spend, right? But this is, you know, retail media teams are flowing more into a core media part of the organization inside brands. And as we, you know, surveyed our the respondents in the BWG partner survey that we put out, I mentioned before, 75% of them said that budgets were going to be at least somewhat fluid between retailers. So it's clear that their organizations are able to absorb that flexibility. And then ultimately, they have to think through how's their paid search and paid social advertising, you know, complementing what they're doing in retail media. This is a new calculus that they have to think about, and we're seeing a lot of really interesting innovation there. And then how do they think about balancing with their own D2C if that's a strategy in an area they're looking to scale? From the tech stack perspective and looking, you know, what they need to find to kind of arrive at a connected commerce paradigm, you know, really it's data connections that drive better decision making, insights to action. And it needs to be high performance, needs to be scalable, needs to be able to grow with the brand and with the brand's, you know, kind of pivoting strategies. And there needs to generally be custom solutions that help integrate. You know, I use a really interesting analogy as we've evolved our business. You know, we look at how Salesforce goes to market. You can't buy Salesforce off the shelf and make it work. It needs to connect to your data. It needs to be very bespoke for your business. And these platforms need to have that flexibility and kind of provide. There's a reason why there's a data company called Snowflake. No one company is data is going to look the same. So on the talent front, really, it is that sort of marriage of understanding and ability to wield the technology, but all in the understanding of marketing principles, certainly, but also savvy enough to understand the goals of the channel, the business, and ultimately the sort of retail intelligence kind of fluence in that language to be able to be successful and drive this. But one of the biggest areas is going to be that, you know, acquiring the data for success. You know, there's really kind of two data acquisition challenges that brands face. And the first is consumer data, right? Their retailers have always been the touch point for consumers in the past. And that's shifting. There's more onus on the brand to kind of develop and understand who is the consumer and how can they directly address them and gather more first party data, you know, especially as Google and Apple, you know, start limiting some of these third-party data availability through their technologies. So, you know, the other big kind of problem that brands face is, you know, even more complicated. You know, it's like the product stock levels, demographics, ratings and reviews, share of voice, competitive intelligence. I mean, these are not just like, you know, siloed data sets that you can review. They need to be influencing and driving what you're doing with paid social or what you're doing with search, and definitely within retail media. So, you know, just even identifying what those relevant data sets are is a challenge, but even getting it in one place and making it democratized for, you know, the organization is a whole other challenge. So really we see connecting all of that data together as a key kind of first step in kind of a foundational effort to really drive this connected commerce paradigm. And, you know, I think it's possible if you pull this together that you can really drive through search, through social, through your upper funnel, lower funnel, retail media, a real kind of at least V1 connected commerce paradigm.
Nick, you touched on so many things that are top of mind to me. I am completely blown away by all the different aspects of what this future vision of connected commerce needs to look like, what it needs to incorporate. You talked about Snowflake and marrying together data sets into a clean room. We just had a conversation about that earlier today. There are just so many really great things. Sri, is there something you wanted to say?
Yeah. Nick, that answer, I'm going to like cut it out and preserve it because you touched every end of the digital spectrum from data, assimilation, gathering, infrastructure. You mentioned the word Snowflake, making it into actionable outcomes. You talk about content. Like you covered the spectrum of the digital e-commerce world today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Sri. And I guess the follow-up question to that, Nick, is, so now that you've kind of laid out what the future vision is, do you have some best-in-class examples of brands that seem to be doing this pretty well?
I mean, it's definitely. I mean, we have we're super humbly proud to have the brands that we have on our platform, over 1,000 brands leveraging our technology to, you know, execute exactly or at least move on this path towards this goal, right? They know that they want to skate where the puck is going, and you know, there's been a space race definitely within retail media and the technologies that serve Amazon. But it's amazing to see the talent in this space come up with solutions that we humbly try to meet them halfway or a little over halfway with our technology and develop custom endpoints for them. But actually, you'd mentioned, you know, that I'd be on stage next week at the Path to Purchase Institute with Sarah from Kimberly-Clark. So that's probably the most recent example that I have of some really cool insights that she's going to be talking about. If you get a chance, we'll be in Chicago next week.
This episode is actually being released the day after we record it. So we will include in the digital liner notes of the podcast episode a hyperlink to the Future Forward site where people can actually still have a chance to participate in what you're doing with Sarah. So please elaborate on what's going on with her on and what you'll be talking about on stage.
Amazing. Well, good to know. Yeah. And I think one of the, we've always seen KC as an early design partner and somebody in a brand holding company that is just so innovative with the ways they're willing to adjust their organization, democratize data, early adopters of the value of retail media to, control and maintain share. And they're in dogfights like so many of us are in our marketplaces to take their share. One of the key areas, and I'll just mention a few that they're looking at connected commerce in their organization before we kind of look at the media side of things is, really their earliest strategies around SKU prioritization between online and offline. It was originally very much a copy and paste strategy for digital. More and more, they're kind of trying to shift away from a channel-centric view of their operation to more of a consumer-centric view. And it's the connectivity of and it's sort of the catalyst of this retail media investment that's been scaling for them and this access to, more granular kind of consumer level targeting data through things like Amazon DSP or, the scale they're able to drive by pulling these media levers inside retailers. That's actually started to push, retail media into the core kind of media org for them, which is a testament to their connecting brand teams and consumer shopping teams, really driving that consumer-centric approach as opposed to just saying, hey, we're just going to copy and paste the SKU prioritization for this one offline channel online here, because they're starting to pull together data that's going to tell them a very specific way to drive SKU prioritization, to think about a consumer strategy, and then ultimately as that drives into kind of their lower funnel media programs, their holistic search, really coordinating their agendas across these previously siloed channels and making their investments more fluid between these channels based on the signals that they're getting kind of intra-daily, intra-weekly, and being much more nimble with their approach. The best example that she shared with me that I thought really kind of, was probably the most kind of clear manifestation of this strategy was their team in the UK that was working on the Kleenex brand. They saw this really interesting opportunity to kind of support their consumer beyond runny noses with an interesting digital product called Your Pollen Pal. And I thought that was, first of all, really cute. So they created this hyper-local pollen tracker on their website that doubled as a first-party data acquisition tool, which is always a big strategy for these brands that are looking to learn more about their customer. And the tool was actually born out of their Google search program that was driving insights, identifying that, there were 3 million allergy sufferers looking for pollen count in search. So the tool was super successful for them as a digital asset. In the second year, the team added QR codes on the packaging and on shelf wobblers. It was connecting consumers to the experience itself. So really pulling that physical shopper right into that digital pollen count experience. And then after they did that in second year as well, they added an allergy quiz. A lot of consumers didn't really know what might be causing their seasonal allergies. So they were really starting to create more of a story and engaged, brand relationship with their customer, all based off of search results from Google, right? So, you think about the extrapolations from data like this, taking insights from Google and search term analysis and in a platform like ours, right? That's potentially a campaign that you can filter down to across any of these channels, whether it's social or search. So I thought that was a really interesting way to see like a real digital, real life at the shelf kind of personalization, leveraging connected data. And if you're working on the brand in the UK and you don't have access to or influence over Google search data, this never happens, right? So it's a good kind of case study in this like democratization and connection of data sources in the organization, and they're driving that. They're on the cutting edge, and I can tell you that of driving connected commerce.
This episode is getting better by the minute because we are going into the depth and chasm of all pieces of connected commerce, relating it back to e-commerce. But now for the main event, which is finding the right technology for all of this is a challenge in the industry for brands and for retailers equally. And that's where Sky plugs right in. So connect Sky back into how you are equipping brands to be able to do this.
Absolutely. I mean, I mentioned early on the notion of the commerce continuum. In the earliest days, of developing our software, our design partners were Zappos, Home Depot, Macy's. We've really had commerce and retail at the core of what we've built. We've had an amazing opportunity to serve the world's largest agencies, some of the best independent agencies. And we've, as I mentioned at the top of the call, been fortunate enough to get to partner up alongside the growth of Google and Facebook and Instagram and now, of course, Amazon and retail media. I'd be remiss if I didn't even mention Apple as well with Apple Search Ads. So we have a breadth of solutions that we provide, I mentioned at the top of the call. But we're really doing kind of three things as it relates to sort of this connected commerce vision with connecting all of those assets into one platform, as we've done with what we have at Sky as the connected commerce platform. So those three things, really, the first is around data and insights that fuel the campaign. So we know that our brands are actively seeking really the right intelligence that connects back to their marketing campaigns. And it's not necessarily going to come natively from the retailers or from the channel. Google is going to provide you every bit of insight into how much volume there is on a search term or, any data that's going to help their business grow and have you buy more search ads. A retailer may not be the same way. So you may have to go to different locations, whether it's in your business or externally, to collect data. So we've really developed some interesting solutions, to connect disparate data sources into our platform to be very democratized in how we do that. We've also developed ways where we deliver and produce data on behalf of our clients. And in fact, we did so for our client, Reckitt Benckiser, to help them monitor and optimize their share of voice, right, on Amazon. So they were looking to improve and understand their digital shelf, and ultimately leveraging our tools with that insight driving into action and in the associated automation resulted in 94% revenue growth for them. In a different but similar case, the Mayborn Group was able to grow its brand level market share by 10 points by tapping into the granular insights on the very specific terms that they were looking for from a share of voice perspective. Our platform giving them the ability to granularly break down across all of those terms at the product level allowed them to kind of disassemble their notion of market share or category share for the brand that they were working on and drive the incremental growth at the term and product level. So there's a lot of granularity you get when you work with a platform that can help you really, really drive things at scale. So peeling back layers would be, connecting data and peeling back layers, and driving unique data that's not necessarily delivered from the retailer natively starts to usher in some of these new management paradigms. The other thing that we're doing is full funnel channel optimization. So we worked with a brand called Bondi Sands and their agency Stellar Rising to take really their Amazon sales up to the next level. They really wanted to align their Amazon search programs with their DSP programs in a much more, concerted fashion. So really in so doing and kind of really ensuring that their upper funnel investments in DSP were being measured and aligned and timed with their search programs, they were able to drive 118% increase in their revenue. So really once you have the data pulled into the system and you've set up your automation so that you're executing, you have a lot more time to do much more strategic things. And there's really nothing more strategic than measurement. If you could be running what you think is the most sophisticated campaign, but if you don't have a normalization for managing disparate measures across disparate retailers that have disparate technologies or attribution models, and then you add to that the future of, cookies falling off the map online, and you really need to drive an approach around incrementality, something that eliminates the need for PII and demonstrates kind of the impact of the campaigns and the tactics across all these channels. So that's one area where we've made huge amounts of investments in our marketing science technologies, from experiments to auditing to our always on incrementality testing product. We are laser focused on helping nail the kind of future of measurement, which we know is going to be a big challenge.
I want to remind our audience that we're speaking with Nick Weinheimer from Sky. So, Nick, did I hear you right? I know that Sky has always been a leader in managing and optimizing what we traditionally call walled garden retail media assets, but did you just say that you're helping some of your brand clients optimize and run DSP campaigns?
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, back to kind of history and where we've sort of purposefully avoided joining the fray of the complex landscape of the history of display advertising, retail media has really been a big catalyst for us to think differently about serving technology to drive a full funnel activation for our customers. In the past, right, Google or Facebook, we sought to be the best performance advertising platform, working predominantly at the bottom or mid funnel efforts for marketers, leaving the trade desks and DV360 at Google and, you know, Yahoo, Verizon, et cetera, to serve the open web kind of display advertising paradigm. We saw it as a very messy space, as it was, you know, the history of networks and then obviously evolving to open RTB. It's a really interesting and probably a whole other podcast episode to think about the sort of analogy of the history of display advertising and the associated technologies with where retailers are trying to go outside of maybe Amazon, Instacart, and Walmart, but in terms of the technology that they have to implement. But I digress. So as a platform, we do provide service on top of Amazon DSP today. I foresee a world where the space does get a lot more programmatic in how it's managed across the entire funnel, across all of these retailers. We talk about more of a consumer-centric approach that KC is looking for in their models. I see a world where there are signals coming in from the market and from the programs you're running that are going to help you decide where the next dollar is best spent. And that could happen intradaily. That could happen on Google. That could happen on Amazon or on Piggly Wiggly. That could happen in the upper funnel, or that could happen in the lower funnel. And there's all sorts of signals that would tell you why or why not to do that. And it's the connectivity of these upper funnel programs to actual sales within these retailers that is driving us to say, you know what, DSP is an important part of the strategy, and we need to have a technology solution because these brands want to do this all in one place. One of the biggest complexities is just the fractured nature of this market compared to investing in Google or Facebook, or just pure branding out on the open web. There is still very retailer-specific strategy that's employed with the owned and operated inventory that is display-oriented in an Amazon DSP or in the future as every retailer allows their first-party data to be what is targeted in the open web. So we think bringing that together is an important part of connected commerce. There needs to be the opportunity to see, oh my gosh, there's an untapped, you know, key opinion leader trend around you know, lavender being a scent for de-stressing, for example. And nobody is claiming that in their product detail pages or as they market their products. So we need to own that in the upper funnel. We need to put the eyeballs into the top of the funnel that our product for lavender is all about de-stressing. And then that's going to trickle down through your programs as your customers flow through the funnel. So we need to be able to provide that connectivity, that view across the business. And for us, it's been a natural evolution and one that I'm excited about, given the fact that we do have depths of partnerships with partners like Google, for example, who have their DV360 stack as a DSP, or as other retailers start to take advantage of other DSPs, you know, to stand up a competitive paradigm to Amazon. So, retail media has been an amazing catalyst for us to think more full funnel. Definitely, Peter.
So we got into DSP over there. And the importance of DSP, especially given the optimized walled garden media that today's media is turning out to be with the collapse of the cookie-based advertising capabilities that's steadily and slowly moving forward. If brands don't use DSP, on the contrary, what kind of opportunities would they be missing out on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think it's really about a full funnel strategy. I know that sounds kind of like marketing 201 or whatever, but the you know, our research shows that, and you'll hear it in almost all kind of trade publications, that definitely well more than half of product searches and discovery is happening on Amazon today online. And look, you know, our approach to advertising has always been to kind of follow consumer behavior. You know, they want help, not just realizing the intent, but finding and discovering great products. We learned that when we launched with Facebook. It isn't the same thing as, finding the right keywords at the bottom of the funnel. And And DSP, you know, and upper funnel advertising are just more formats that help consumers engage, you know, in, when they're in this kind of consideration or, you know, ready to be exposed phase of their journey. And we've seen in the data, right, that it's when you do align these strategies within retail media, consumers are 25 times more likely to purchase a product after being exposed to a display ad and a sponsored product ad than if they just saw a sponsored product ad alone. So, you know, we believe that ultimately when you ask us, like, look, do we think our technology helps the consumer? I absolutely think so. If we're helping align, you know, they're, you know, getting the right discovery ads out in front of a customer and helping the marketers do that more efficiently and then align it with what can be a very complicated and disparate performance marketing execution that they have to wield across multiple brands, potentially different silos within their organization, our technology can be a big, big lift in kind of proving, you know, why using DSP is important. And in getting to a measurement paradigm where you have the argument to make showing that you're taking incremental share in your category or that you're, you know, increase in your brand search terms. There's a variety of different metrics that, you know, are super valuable in understanding your growth in a channel or that you have an opportunity to grow. And DSP is a really great lever to pull. And look, these are some of the largest brand coffers in the world, and they're looking for more intelligent and measurable ways to spend these dollars. It's the old adage. I think I say this on almost every time I'm interviewed or asked a question about measurement, but I don't know which half is working, but I'm investing, you know, a metric ton of these dollars into these channels. We're starting to get closer. And I think CMOs are starting to realize that these retail media DSPs are actually quite measurable, and much more so than some of the national TV or print campaigns they've run, you know, in the history of what got them into their C-suite.
Nick, I've been reading this week the announcement that Sky made about the offering of dynamic commerce ads. I'd love your perspective on how this ties into what we've been talking about, because by my estimation, this is pretty revolutionary innovation in social to retailer advertising. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so again, back to our survey, right? Like 8 out of 10 retail media marketers are using paid social and paid search, full stop, you know, driving traffic into these retailers. Forever, this was a blind toss. You know, Amazon has released some programs around Amazon attribution, but it's clear that there's, you know, from a kind of a mid-funnel engagement and just general traffic and opportunity, the brands are already doing this. They're already leveraging these kind of traditional digital channels to boost traffic into the key retailers. And look, you know, Facebook realized this. They've released, you know, their collab ads to help support this effort. You know, today for us, the solution that we released that's unique to Sky is currently for Amazon, Walmart, and Target. And we have a bunch more retailers in the works. But what's really cool about it is we're automatically keeping kind of the product detail in sync. So any, you know, dynamic commerce ad is going to showcase up-to-date information, availability, price, rating, right? So we're not going to waste your budget. We're not going to advertise a product that's out of stock at a retailer. You know, so that partner's not going to show as an opportunity in the interstitial for where the consumer can go. And we don't use your e-commerce feed for it. And we get asked, well, why not? I mean, the first thing is that it can be a cumbersome process for the organization to get a feed set up for you that works and that is up to date. And as products go in and out of stock throughout the day, sometimes a nightly refresh and just it becomes a pretty heavy lift. So you may know what your MSRP is, but the retailer's algo is constantly changing prices and promotions based on various signals that they're tracking. So unless you're really pulling directly from their sites, you may be off in your programs, and consumers can see that when they click an ad and they get a difference on where they land. I mean, something as an aside that's more frustrating to me than anything is I get great ads in my Instagram feed about a great piece of outdoor furniture, and I click that ad and then it lands me on the freaking homepage of the site. I know I'm digressing here, but it's like, come on, social, like at least get me to the product that's there, right? So we're taking it to the next level and saying, listen, we're going to be pulling live information from these sites to serve this ad, to make sure that we're getting the exact price availability. And we won't, you know, again, we won't serve. And then, you know, it's an amazing opportunity for the brand to measure a retailer preference for consumers and audiences that they're driving to, right? If they have an audience strategy across 10 key audience that they want to drive Facebook ads to, they can start to see what do those audiences prefer in terms of a retailer and the downstream insights that you can capture of how you approach your retail media, for example, inside that retailer starts to become really valuable just from the insights from these dynamic commerce ads. So beyond that, you know, there's different combinations of the product metadata that we can start to measure or start to bring into your measurement and see how it impacts performance. And then, we can run a number of different templates to kind of measure the impact of creative. So creative testing and things like that, that is possible within social that isn't as possible in sponsored product ads, for example, on some of the retail media sites. So it's a really compelling, compelling ad type, unique to the way we're providing it today. And I'm excited to see as we've pulled all of our technology assets into one place to see this innovation in the ad types and in some of the interstitials.
Nick, I know this, we're running out of time on this episode and it's coming to an end, but I want to actually go back to a collaboration opportunity that we heard of, you know, back in late March when Mr. PVSP had attended the Shop Talk event in Las Vegas. On the second day, 8451, Kroger Precision Marketing announced that it was opening its Kroger Precision Marketing retail media platform to third-party ad management platforms, aka Sky. Big deal, you know. Would you please provide us some detail as what this means for you at Sky, and why should brands be excited that they can do business with Kroger retail media now via third-party ad management platform?
Yeah, 100%. And by the way, great to see you at Shop Talk, Peter. Fun to be in our great partner Criteo's booth and then, you know, hear the great announcement about yet another great partnership where, you know, our thousands of brands on our platform now have access to Kroger's retail media platform. For the longest time, Kroger's been an innovator, you know, obviously in developing and acquiring and seeding the 8451 business. leveraging their broad and extremely wealthy troves of data to make available to their customers. They were some of the earliest to invest in retail media technology, bringing on the PromoteIQ partnership now as part of Microsoft, right? And we've been long-term partners with Microsoft over the years with our search platform plugged in and driving growth and share of wallet in for our thousands of brands on the search platform. So for us, it's a natural extension to obviously with on the heels of partnering with Amazon and Walmart and Instacart, you know, driving traffic through our partners at Criteo and Citrus into Target and many other retailers to have Kroger come to the table and open up a third-party API ecosystem through their partner, PromoteIQ is just a great testament to the evolution in the space and some in one of the key kind of grocery retailers out there seeing that this open ecosystem is the key to growth. I mean, I draw back to the comment I made about the evolution of display ad tech, but when you start creating this open paradigm, this open exchange, if you will, of demand, the growth that the retailer can experience is going to be that much more exponential. You're allowing the entire hive to bring you opportunity, and that'll then allow you with that incremental growth to invest in more innovation. And we've seen them seen their innovation firsthand, and even beyond some of the technologies I've mentioned, driving some very cool sponsored product video units with their Emobi partnership. For our part, look, our brands expect that we're going to be on the cutting edge, driving access to the broadest swath of retailers that they want to manage across this complexity. The fractured nature of retail media is, exactly what our platform answers for. We want to connect all of their most important data. We want to help them drive their best activations based on that data into their most important retail investments. And it's a very, very challenging thing to do without leveraging technology and automation and, you know, incremental insights that are not necessarily natively available from the platform. So I wish this happened a year or 2 years ago. I think Kroger has a huge potential to be an enormous player in the space. They already are. But as they really open up the kimono to the kind of open ecosystem of providers like us, I know our brands, when we look at the data, a great example is in the first year on Amazon, our same store growth for our customers was over 100%. So when they were able to take advantage of automation, of our bid algorithms, of our, you know, data democratization around their organization, measurement tools, these things really do meaningfully help these retailers grow their business and aren't just providing value to brands. So having us in the picture is accretive to, you know, rising all boats in that tide. So we're very excited about the partnership and the opportunity that it represents.
For our audience, I'd like to remind you that all of our content, 199 episodes strong, it's all available. Just go to cpgguys.com. You can find that and a whole lot of other content, links to our social media accounts, LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Twitter. It's all there. Please go check it out. And of course, it's all free. And if you're not already doing so, please follow us, particularly on LinkedIn, because that's where we amplify most of our conversation. So, Nick, I want to thank you for joining us today. You set the bar very high for episode 200. I thought that was going to be a big one, but my goodness, we covered everything today. Talked really about how brands bring together all these capabilities and assets, and particularly how Sky is helping them enable not only their traditional retail media, but certainly even moving into DSP and open web advertising. I mean, I think it's just really phenomenal. And thanks again for joining us on the CPG Guys podcast. We really love having you here because it's always a lively conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. Sri, always a pleasure.
So Sri, I'm going to give it to you to recap because I got so many things I could talk about, but I know you can boil it down to some really succinct observations of what Nick brought to us that was even amplifying on the last conversation.
First of all, Nick, I want to thank you for joining us on the show, right? This is the second time you've been on. This is one of our favorite topics, retail media, but you didn't start that way. You actually took it up a level, which is you started with the whole journey of connected commerce, because what we do 24/7 these days is be engaged on a connected device. I love that you chose a very specific example of the pollen count of everything and how you brought back insights to action to create value through, by calling it a digital asset. That was fantastic. And then you gave the example of brand share growth of 10%. Achieved through share of voice. Like when we get specific examples and you even name the brand. So that's a big deal because we can pinpoint precision outcomes that come across the platform. I just like the way you're connecting a consumer, the data that's generated to the spectrum of the consumers being connected 24/7. Why meaningful targeted ads make a difference. Sky's role in that journey of meaningful targeted advertising that's really done with data at the end of the day without having to worry about the new cookie-less world that we're in, walled gardens that we're all dealing with. And thank you also for decomposing and getting into the world of DSP and explaining why DSPs are necessary for brands in this cookie-less walled garden world. To me, you bring it end-to-end at the end of the day. I'll no longer call y'all a search insights and a search platform and a search decomposition platform. I'll just put it out there. Y'all are a connected commerce, engagement, insights, outcomes, a connected commerce, outcomes-based platform. So congratulations for that. I'm glad that Kroger actually decided to open up its platform for third-party providers to be able to manage some of its data and advertising. I wish all retailers did that because at the end of the day, from a brand lens that I've worn for 25 years, it's important to manage it via third parties as one media mix, not as seven disparate data sources. And when that happens, we can do that. Sky's part of the journey. Congratulations, man. Look forward to having you back sometime.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
All right. And with that, I want to say to our audience, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to reach out to Nick and learn more, it's the easy way to do it. Just open up the digital liner notes of this episode. Click on his LinkedIn profile and you can reach them there. And of course, go visit Sky, their corporate website, also hyperlinked in the digital liner notes of this podcast. Sri, as always, thank you for joining me on this journey. Love having you. We have a great conversation, interject a little baseball here and there. But we got to talk about our favorite topic, retail media, today, and that's really what matters. Thank you, as always, to our audience for joining us on this journey. We look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast, and that would be episode number 200. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.